Hello, everyone, and welcome to the fourth and final episode of Having People Over, our four-week series inspired by my new book, out in just 2 days, October 21st, Tuesday, 2 days from now. It is all about hosting, entertaining, throwing parties, building communities, making friends, being a better friend, and doing it all on any budget. That is the most important thing to remember about this book. I'm just going to straight up issue a plea. Click that link down below. Please pre-order this book if you've ever been considering it for yourself or a friend. It's our last chance to get in pre-orders, and this book being successful would mean so much to me. I work so hard on these things, and you know, it would just be really nice because I think it's really good and it deserves to be. And I think it's an important book in our current moment where everyone is an isolated asshole sometimes. No, but I do feel like we're in an epidemic of people like glamorizing being inconsiderate flakes to each other and not building community and not being good friends and not showing up for each other and not taking care of their own homes and lives. So I think it's important. Please help me make it a success, Having People Over, out in just 2 days. I just want to say a quick thank you to the sponsor who is making this series possible, Monarch. So as I've shared before on the channel, I am a huge believer in and user of budgeting apps. And my preferred budgeting app is Monarch. I actually used Monarch for some time before we even started working together. So I was really excited when they wanted to partner with us. But a lot of what I'm going to be talking about in this series and what I talk about in the book is just entirely about gaining control over your financial life so that you can use money as a tool to build a life that you enjoy and that makes you feel fulfilled and surrounded by good community. And for me anyway, having a good handle on your day-to-day finances is crucial in that process. And I highly recommend using Monarch to take the guesswork out of managing your money. You can use it to budget, to set goals, and to actually understand where your money's going each week. And you don't even have to take my word for it. Monarch was named the best mint replacement by Forbes, and Wall Street Journal named it the best budgeting app. Plus, there's no ads, and they don't sell your financial data to third parties, and there are no premium-only upsells. So if you're interested in trying out Monarch, just click the link in our description and you'll get 50% off your annual plan with code TFD. So in the spirit of celebrating a lot of what I talk about in the book and making sure that we are talking first and foremost about things that we can do at any budget or income level, I am ending our series with our video today, which is all about how to be the put together friend, even if you are currently very much in your broke era. Now, I want to stress that a lot of what I talk about in the book and a lot of what I truly believe makes someone a good friend, a good person, to be a part of any community, more self-actualized, more self-confident, really has very little, if nothing, to do with money. Now, I am not going to be one of those people who gaslights and says that money doesn't buy happiness. It doesn't literally, I guess, but like it buys security, it buys stability, it buys options, it often buys back your free time, all of which are like pretty fundamental building blocks to being happy or doing things that are enjoyable for you. And as someone who went from very low income to high income, there is no question that every aspect of my life is more fluid, more easy, etc. That being said, when it comes to being a good friend, when it comes to being the most realized version of yourself, a lot of the things that go into that, in my experience, have little to nothing to do with money. And in fact, often people who have money, and the stats show this, right? Like, people who have money often tend to have less community, be less empathetic, have less of a sense of, you know, shared humanity and social ties with the people around them, in part because they don't need to. They can always outsource everything they need or pay for it. And I also think, quite frankly, people who have a lot of money often think that that can be a stand-in for other forms of love, connection, effort, and presence for each other. Like, even in like my own extended family, there were always like, you know, certain people who like would never show up for something or like call you on your birthday, but you'd like get a fat check from them every once in a while. And you're like, and let's be clear, as a kid, you're like, hell yeah, like, I don't give a shit. I'd rather have the money. But as you get older, like, people who think that money is a substitute for every other form of connection and communication is like, it gets old quickly. So I do want to acknowledge that while money is definitely a privilege that allows us to be sort of more present, caring, and involved people, not just in our friends' lives, but in our own lives, it is not accurate to think that money is what automatically makes that possible. And in fact, many people have plenty of money and very little of all of the other things that matter when it comes to being part of a community. So these are just a few of my best suggestions for being the put together friend that are literally completely irrespective of the amount of money you have and are frankly all things that I wish I had been implementing much earlier in my life, back when I had less money to go around, because frankly, it would have saved me a lot of time and mental energy. The first thing that is so important is to identify and invest in the relationships that are actually additive to your life. I cannot stress this enough. The number one thing that allows you to be a good friend is to be in good friendships, like to be friends with people who show up for you when you show up for them, where there is a reciprocity, where you are both messaging each other, both suggesting plans, both taking an interest in each other's lives. You have like actual shared interests or shared passions or curiosities. You are happy for each other genuinely. You're building together. You want to be involved in each other's lives. Like, a lot of times we feel really bogged down in relationships and unable to give to them, in part because we have too many that are draining our energy, time, and effort without serving us or nourishing us back. It's kind of like the same theory as like if you have a really big wardrobe that's full of clothes you don't really like, you're actually going to have a harder time getting dressed in the morning because you're overwhelmed with bad options. Similarly, like if your social life is heavily built on these like quasi-friend acquaintances, or maybe people that you used to be closer with or who are part of this larger social circle who are draining your energy and resources and yet not really giving you much back, that is going to prevent you from being a more intentional, put together, reliable person, because you're just going to be way too divided, again, amongst people who aren't necessarily the best use of that time or attention. So you are much better off actually narrowing down the number of people that you are keeping in your life intentionally, but being way, way more thoughtful about those relationships. Similarly, it's important to really tell people how much you care about them and to receive that as well. Like, be happy for other people, show up for them, set calendar reminders for their important moments, as we've discussed before, and actually call them or send them a good luck message if they're going into a job interview, or check in if, you know, their mother is going through health problems, or, you know, just show up in ways that really demonstrate your love. Say, I love you, if that's how you feel about them, and let them say it back and hear it. You know, part of what I think makes people an aspirational or, you know, desirable friend is that they feel comfortable in the sincerity of their emotion, and they feel comfortable communicating it, and they feel deserving of receiving it. So allowing both of those things to happen, allowing yourself to really be present and loving, and to have others be present for you and to demonstrate their love, is, again, something that costs absolutely nothing, but automatically makes you more of the kind of friend that people want, and honestly, way happier yourself in the process. Now, this next one is going to be obviously very tied into my book, but I do believe it very strongly, is get comfortable with inviting other people in. That can be quite literally, like inviting people into your home or your apartment to cook them a meal. But it can also be inviting people into the things that you're going through, you know, being honest about your struggles or your failures, things that you're nervous about or that you really want. The entire concept of hosting to me when it comes to inviting people into your space is it's entirely about vulnerability. You are showing who you are. You are letting people into your most sacred area, and that can be represented quite literally in terms of coming into your home, but it can also be represented in what you share with others and how available you make yourself. Are you comfortable, like, if you're really going through something, can you cry in front of people? Can you tell them what you're really scared about? If, you know, something really disappointed you, do you feel able to share, you know, the disappointments as much as you do the successes? Or do you feel like you have to be a walking 24/7 highlight reel for people? I think part of the reason a lot of people feel very anxious and uncomfortable with hosting in the home is because they feel like it's not going to be up to par, like it's going to be judged, like people are not going to think it's nice enough or fancy enough or organized enough or whatever the case may be. And I'll be honest, I'm very guilty of like, sorry, it's such a mess in here when there's like one thing out of place. But I do really sometimes feel that way because I know the sort of ultimate way that I would really love people to experience my home, and it doesn't always feel that way. But part of interestingly, feeling like a more put together person, I think, is not in always having things look or be perfect, but in feeling truly comfortable and at ease with allowing other people in when things are not perfect. Like, I invite people to stop on by, come have, you know, a glass of wine or a cup of tea, have some afternoon snacks. Maybe there's some laundry in the basket that needs to be folded. Maybe I need to, you know, mop and vacuum the kitchen or whatever. But I'm okay with them coming in because I trust that they love me for who I am and that I don't have to put on a performance anytime that I want to spend time with the people in my life. We often think that what makes us put together is putting on that perfect performance, but it's really in not feeling like you always have to perform. But in terms of the brass tacks of being put together as it pertains to friendship and community is to kind of act as your own personal assistant. Like, I do think we put way too much pressure on ourselves to be always available, to remember everything, to be really good at balancing so many different things that all of the people around us have going on while also balancing what we have. And I just want to be clear that that's like not possible and not normal. Like, it is okay if you are not constantly available 24/7 to respond to a text message in a timely manner. But are you the kind of person who says like, hey, I'm just not very good at texting, especially after the hour of, you know, 8 or 9 p.m., but let's set a time to have a call once a week so we can really catch up and, you know, dedicate time to each other. Maybe you are not the kind of person who, for one reason or another, is able to like show up a lot physically to events, but are there other ways that you can, you know, be close to your friends, be present in their lives? Again, are you setting the reminders for yourself so that you know what's going on in your friends' lives without having to constantly remember it? Are you taking time to just touch in with them? I think being honest and forthright about like, here's what I can and can't do, but your friendship is important to me and I want to prioritize it. So here's what I can offer. How can we find the best way? I have friends who are very close that I literally never text because they're bad texters. But we have like a call once or twice a week, or if we live in, you know, the neighborhood, we go for a walk once or twice a week. Like, similarly, I have friends who are just constantly sending me an unfiltered stream of consciousness and memes, sometimes via voice notes, sometimes via text message. And like, I adapt to that as I can, you know. Everyone is going to have their own availability, their own method of communication, and their own ways of showing up. And it's not that you have to perfectly adapt to everyone else's, it's that you have to be proactive and communicative about what yours are. Again, act as your own personal assistant. Like, you wouldn't expect the executive to be available and on call 24/7, and you are the CEO of your own life. So get an assistant, AKA you. And also, like, I'm not usually one to you know, promote the use of AI, but it definitely can be helpful for things like this if you're very forgetful with like personal dates and reminders and follow-ups. And similarly, you want to curate your environment. I think something we always tend to think of aspiration in terms of material things, what someone wears, what their home looks like, where they travel to, the things that they can buy, or the things that they can show. And I actually think that especially in our current era of just being constantly overstimulated, constantly overconsuming, what is actually most aspirational, at least to me, is someone who feels like they live a curated life. And now I mean that both physically, like do they live in a curated space where they're intentional about the things that they bring into their home, where they take time to really enjoy the space that they live in, where they keep it clean and organized, where they spend time in it, etc. Curating your space, you know, in the physical realm, I think is very aspirational. Even something as simple as like making your bed in the morning, which I don't do, my husband does, I have to be honest about that. But I do other things, I do plenty of other choice. But like making your bed in the morning, lighting a candle while you get ready, like having these moments that make your space feel safe and peaceful and like you draw energy from it rather than it sapping energy from you, that is aspirational. And so is curating your digital environment. Like, I'm never gonna be at the extreme of my husband who's like completely offline in all capacities, although I sometimes do envy it. But I also think that like, there are middle grounds. Like, we can all find ways of engaging online that feel like they really nourish us rather than constantly distracting us and overwhelming us and draining our energy. It can be as simple as like taking certain apps off your phone or muting and unfollowing accounts that don't make you feel good, or choosing one dedicated time every morning to informing yourself about, let's say, news and whatnot, and then not engaging with it the rest of the day, because like chances are you don't need to be interrupted 50 times a day with breaking news about every single bad thing happening in the world. Like, I actually do not think that that makes you more informed. I think it makes you more anxious and less able to act in a direct and an intentional way. And similarly, in terms of curation, something that is very aspirational to me and something that I think makes friends better members of community is the more that they can take their action, their intentionality, that curated way of informing themselves and direct it outward into the real world rather than staying in that closed loop online. Like, especially right now in our current political moment, like, we need to be getting out there. We need to be calling people. We need to be going to protests. We need to be knocking doors. Like, we need to be joining mutual aid groups or meeting our neighbors. We need to go to community board meetings and see what's happening, like, on our blocks, in our homes. And not enough people are doing that. And we've seen in the data that people who spend a lot of time online, like being very activated, engaging in comment sections or constantly reading news, they feel as if they're doing something, as if they're really contributing something either to their own mental well-being or to the issue at hand. But it's actually the opposite. It often gives them that same feeling of having done something without actually having done anything productive except make themselves way more fucking stressed out. So I would say for the average person, like, being a little less informed but more action oriented and more in the real world is always going to be better. And it's going to leave you in a better mental and emotional space to give to the relationships you've had. Like, I have had moments over the past few years, I'm sure we all have, where, like, people have said to me, like, I think you need to log off. And I've said that to my friends. Like, we need to be checking in with each other about, like, is the way that we're living, both spatially and digitally, is it overwhelming us or is it helping us actually contribute and be better members of our communities and of this society? Again, this is something that has nothing to do with money, really, but it is a way that I think that we need to start thinking of aspiration. To me, in this moment, nothing is more aspirational than being intentional and curated. Lastly, something that I think makes you a very put-together friend and a put-together person is not gatekeeping, both with yourself and with others. That means, like, welcoming other people into your hobbies and interests, you know, helping people feel more comfortable with being beginners, whether that's, like, you know, working out together, even though it feels awkward the first few times, or, like, bringing them into one of your hobbies or introducing them to other people you think they might like. Like, really sharing and being generous, not even necessarily financially, but, like, with your world. Like, what are things that you can bring other people into rather than constantly gatekeeping and protecting and feeling like a sense of scarcity? About all of these aspects of being alive, as we get older, it becomes harder and harder to put ourselves out there, whether that's with meeting a new person or trying to learn a new skill, or joining a new group or starting a new hobby or whatever the case may be. So if you are the friend who is saying, I'll try it with you, or why don't you come do this thing with me, or I bet you would like this person, being that kind of facilitator, being the kind of person who makes it easier to be vulnerable, to be new at something, like, that is truly not just one of the greatest gifts that we can give to other people, it's also the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves, because it means that we will constantly be in a state of learning and growing and evolving as opposed to stagnating, which is what happens to many people. They stop learning, they stop trying new things, and they stop putting themselves out there. Like, to me, one of the greatest things in life is when you introduce two people and they become friends. I know that we can often have a sense of scarcity around that, around, like, wait, are they less my friend now? Or, like, do they like each other better? But to me, I think not only is it a compliments to the chef situation because, you know, two people who didn't know each other now are like, wow, you vetted them, so they're a great person. But generally, if relationships are healthy, like, more love begets more love. More connection begets more connection. And I really hope that, you know, whether or not you guys read this book, whether or not you guys start hosting in your own home, you do at least take in the mentality that, like, there is always enough for everyone. We do not need to practice scarcity in our own relationships, in our own love, platonic and otherwise, you know, in our own communities. There's enough to go around. And the more we put ourselves out there, the more we make ourselves available to people and allow ourselves to be vulnerable and allow them to be vulnerable in return, the easier life is. Again, regardless of where your income might be at, like, if you have a community you can rely on, if you have people who will show up for you, who remember you, who think about you, like, there's almost nothing we can't do. And all of those things that we've just talked about are key to not just making you someone that people want to be around and that, you know, has an easier time making and keeping meaningful friendships. It also makes you so much happier because you are increasingly realizing and internalizing. And this is something that I think about
every single day. We are constantly being lied to that happiness and fulfillment are something that we can consume. They are not. They are something that we must create and that we must create together. Ultimately, community is as important to the human brain and the human experience as healthy food, as sunlight, as exercise. We are built and born to be members of communities and to love each other. And I really do hope that everyone, especially in our current political moment, especially with the way that we are currently interacting with each other in a way that's so defensive and so polarized and so suspicious. And I understand that sometimes that's necessary, but we need to create communities for ourselves where we can just relax and feel vulnerable and hold on to other people being vulnerable and make this kind of sometimes scary world feel a little bit easier. That's my mantra of fall 2025, and it is the thesis of having people over. I really hope that you guys have enjoyed this little four-week mini series. I certainly have. As I said, the book is out in 2 days. I'm about to head out on tour, heading to the West Coast first. I hope to see some of you guys there. There's info about that in the description if you want to check me out. We're doing food demos. We're doing a tour with Williams Sonoma. We're doing a bunch of demos. We're cooking food from the book. We're eating food. We're hanging out. It's going to be really fun, but I love you guys. What was that? Love you guys. I'll see you around. Take care. Having people over.